Go ahead. There he is. Hit whatever you want to hit. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
Listen, after we recorded the 10-minute fight, I'm afraid to ever say anything to you again.
No. I'm so sorry. You should never be afraid of me.
Release the fight. A lot of fans want us to release the fight.
Fuck that.
It's like the Zack Snyder cut. Release the fight cut.
Speaking of the Zack Snyder cut.
We can release it in black and white.
Speaking of the Zack Snyder cut, how was it?
Oh, dude, it was amazing. The fans were incredible and, like, so gracious. And I've never, like, you know me. What I love about fans is, like, their passion and their drive. And then, like, the sense of community. And this is an entire community of people who rallied around something that literally an entire studio was like, it's never going to happen. And they were like, mm-hmm. We will put up billboards. We will fly planes. Like, what do we need to do to convince you to do it? And then the craziness of the pandemic happened. And they were like, I guess you can have it as a treat. And I really liked the movie. I wasn't sure what I was going to expect, but I thought it was a lot of fun. It's, like, very polished. And, like, this is a really cool experience to hang out with a bunch of, like, really awesome people. There were some surprises, which I won't spoil if you haven't had a chance to see the red carpet yet, but it was really great.
Right on.
Well, wow, we're really happy for you, Joelle.
Thank you, guys.
And the movie was good. You liked the movie, you said.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yes, all four hours.
I was about to say all four
two
hours.
2 minutes of that and 7 seconds of it, I found enjoyable.
Wow.
Did you solve the query about whether it's in black and white or color?
There's two releases. So there's,
you can choose.
Yes. So you can watch Justice is Gray. That's the black and white version.
And the only difference is the color?
Yeah. That I saw. I only got through the first few chapters of the gray version, although I'm not 100% sure. But I'm pretty sure it's the same movie.
Now, Donald, which one will you be selecting?
I'm watching color, man. I grew up in the color TV era. I remember I had a black and white TV for a really long time. And when color came to life, it was like those kids when they walked into that room in the Willy Wonka chocolate factory.
Yeah.
And it was full of candy. And this was a crap TV. Like, we found it in the garbage compactor room. And my dad was like, I think it's a color TV. And we were like, okay. And he plugged it in, and it took like 5 minutes to finally turn on. Yeah, it did. But finally, I got to watch Voltron, and I was very surprised at how close I was to the color pattern of Voltron's lions. Like, I knew the colors were red, yellow, blue, green, and black, but I didn't know which was which. I didn't know which hand was green or right. And so I would always guess. And when I got the color TV, finally, I was like, I was close.
I'm surprised you didn't compare it to The Wizard of Oz, which I just learned was a cowboy switch. I had no clue that when she goes from the sepia tone black and white to the, like, full color, that's a cowboy switch.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
So they painted the house sepia toned. Right, they had her stand-in open. You know when she opens the door to her house after she gets caught up in the tornado, and then she walks into Oz. So that is shot in color. It's just painted sepia tone. They made a sepia toned dress for the stand-in. They gave her black and gray makeup.
Wow. Cool.
She opens the door, steps off camera, and then Judy Garland steps into camera in the full color dress and walks out into the real world. It blew my mind. I watched it again.
Joelle,
like, wow.
are you a big Wizard of Oz fan?
I love Wizard of Oz. It's like one of the first movies I can remember watching.
Okay, that I've been cleaning out my office, and I stumbled across a great present. I didn't know who to give it to until this moment.
What is happening?
I have
somewhere over the rainbow.
I'll let you do it.
I'll let you do the. But I'll tell you right now, Apollo Theater, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, has been sung so well and so bad. It goes
a lot
nowhere.
Of
I totally lost track of what I heard. Apollo Theater, and then what?
So that song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, is always sung at Showtime at the Apollo, right? Okay. Have you ever watched Showtime at the Apollo?
Of course. My classmate Lauryn Hill was on long before she was famous and got almost booed off.
So when you were talking about your...
The guy almost came and got her with the hook.
She made it through.
So sad.
Your gift that you're about to reveal to everyone reminded me of how many times Somewhere Over the Rainbow is sung at the Apollo, Showtime at the Apollo.
I didn't know it was a go-to.
And I am telling you, I'm not go.
Get it.
You're the best man I've ever known. Mm. There's no way I can ever go.
Preach.
No, 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 no way. No, 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 no way. I'm living without you. I'm not living without. You're not living without. I don't want to be free.
Oh, God. A timeless classic.
Kid of the mountain. Hey! I don't even know what she says. That's the number. That is a great number. So you were talking Wizard of Oz.
That was quite a non sequitur.
You should. We went that to would people be the perfect time to hit the bubbles, Apollo. Man.
I did. I hit it twice. You didn't hear it because you were fucking
all crazy.
You didn't. Was it not loud enough, Daniel?
You got to turn that up.
I heard it.
I didn't hear it.
You'd hear it. It gets gated in Zoom, but it'll be loud enough on the recording.
Oh, it gets gated in Zoom, which must be audio speak, but you're going to hear it. It sounds funny. Anyway, cleaning out my office, emptying those boxes that we all stare at that have never been emptied, and I found someone had gifted me a script of Wizard of Oz signed by many Munchkins.
Wow.
What?
And I don't think that many of them are still with us.
Wow.
But and it might even have some cast members that aren't Munchkins, but I feel like it's probably got at least 10 or so cast signatures on it. I finally watched Tenet.
Oh, how did you feel?
It's very confusing. And I had even read some things like what to know before you watch Tenet. And I just don't think I'm smart enough to fully get the physics of it all.
My brother and I have a theory.
It is physics, right, Daniel?
Yeah.
Time travel. I don't really understand. I mean, even after reading some primers, I don't fully understand the time travel at all. That having been said, it is incredibly shot, and it looks like they had infinite amount of money, which they did. And there's some incredible action, Donald. I think you'd really like the action. It's huge. I mean, if you just kind of watch it and just don't get obsessed with trying to track the time travel of it all. Maybe on a second viewing, you'll get more out of it. But the first viewing was just kind of like, I'm just going to enjoy this and understand and be patient with the fact that I'm not going to get it all.
That's the only problem I have with time travel. That's the only problem. If you're going to make a time travel movie, I don't want to have to think about time travel. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to think about theory. I don't have to think about any of that. I will see Tenet, however, because I do like Nolan, and I knew the star thing when he was a kid. You know what I mean? He introduced himself, I think, outside of the Staples Center one night. He walked by and he was like, "My dad's Denzel Washington," and I was like, "Yeah, right, kid."
Yeah, sure, kid.
Sure, he is. Right.
You know, it's interesting. He really sounds like Denzel at times. They have a similar vocal intonation.
That's great.
Anyway, I recommend it. And the other thing I watched that I recommend is a documentary called Five Came Back. Is this awesome documentary about the five biggest filmmakers in the world at the time of World War II and how they went over to Europe to make documentaries and films for the government and how it affected their filmmaking. And it's a really, really fascinating documentary that I saw. I believe it's on Netflix. So there you go. There's my recommendations of the week.
I have zero recommendations. I did, however, see that Falcon and the Winter Soldier final trailer. I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all.
I thought you watched the actual show. I wish I got really high.
You've probably seen it already, Joel.
It
I know it's fire. I know it's fire. But listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you are in the business of making TV shows with superheroes in it, there's the blueprint right there, y'all. Like, freaking Marvel got it on lock, dude. Like, how does anyone compete with the level of special effects? How do you do it? Like, what do you do? You just got to say, you know what? They do their thing, and we're just going
to
do ours.
They don't seem to miss. Does Marvel miss?
Have not yet. I would say the last time they missed is Thor 2.
Well, I would say in the early days, they missed with the first Hulk. Even though it had a good tie-in, it wasn't necessarily the right move, because they started with that movie, right? The Hulk is the movie they start with, and then they go into Iron Man. Am I right? Like Ed Norton as
Iron Man
Ed Norton as the Hulk was Ed Norton as the Hulk first, and then Iron Man happened?
Isn't that like kind of canonically out of the MCU?
No,
yes, canonically out of the MCU?
No, the Ed Norton Hulk is in the MCU. They use all of that's why
I thought that Mark Ruffalo was the MCU.
He's the other one. It can change as you've seen in WandaVision. There's only two.
Two Hulks?
There's three in movie form.
No, I'm saying in the world of MCU,
there's only one. Well, there could be more than that. It could all be whatchamacallit, multiverses also. Anyway, my point is, they really got it on lock. You just gotta just say, you know what? You do what they do. What they do, I'm gonna do what I do.
Did you watch the behind the scenes thing they just released for WandaVision?
I did, and the fact that these guys were on wires and flying in the street and it was practical was amazing. I thought that that's what made it look sort of realistic, that they're being pushed and thrown through the air and gliding, sort of like Peter Pan, Sandy Duncan back in the day. Zach, you might understand that.
Oh, I do. I wish Sandy Duncan was in the MCU.
Amazing.
That's a deep cut. All right, let's talk about the show Scrubs. 5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald. Mm-hmm. Very funny episode. The Colin Farrell.
Very wacky episode, too.
I know, but I laughed a lot.
I laughed quite a bit, but this
I didn't
is
even
probably
try and get Colin. I didn't even try.
It's all right.
I'm tired of being humbled by these giant movie stars who won't come on the show, so I didn't even try. My father would be disappointed. I didn't make the big ask that I should have asked.
So it's quite all right.
I thought this was really funny. I laughed a bunch. The first thing that made me laugh is that this woman wants to come in the hospital, and she's messed up her foot, but she's got a really weird nose. And she's like, that's not my problem. My problem is something else. And I say, and then I accidentally open the counter and the coffee goes flying all over her face and she's screaming. And I'm like, you know, with the face burns, we can probably admit you now.
That wasn't what made me laugh. What made me laugh was when the door slams on your hand and you go, oh, my me time plans.
No, my me time hand.
My me time hand, right. My me time hand. That's what I was saying. Oh, my me time hand.
I was very silly in this episode. I mean, I feel like I was making shit up left and right.
There's a lot in this episode where my wife and I, we were watching it like, yo, Casey's starting to watch Scrubs now. Like when I do rewatches.
We finally got her 4 years, 4 seasons in.
Yeah, she's now starting to watch. But we're watching it and she was like, oh my God, like I can't believe we're getting away. I said this to myself also. We said a lot of racy things in this episode.
I know, me time hand in 2005. But nothing compares to the It says nothing compares to the WAP performance on the Grammys. Did you catch that?
Amazing.
I texted Donald. I was like, are your kids watching this? I couldn't believe that was on CBS at fucking 7:30 at night or whatever time it was.
I don't know that I could show Wilder that.
No, I don't think you should. But I'm just saying that I am the opposite of someone who would complain about something like that. But I, as your kid's godfather, I'm watching this. And I knew you and Casey were watching it. And I'm watching this WAP performance. And I text Donald and Casey. I'm like, your kids aren't watching this, are they?
No. I don't know what Wilder would do if she was watching it at that moment. Like, she would be like, okay, so Rocco was playing with the dog this weekend, and the dog got a massive erection.
The
lipstick came out, and I never seen Rocco jump so much. You know, he jumped up off the dog like, holy shit!
I broke the dog's penis!
Right, something's wrong with the dad, something's wrong with the dog. So I said, no, Rock, that's the dog's penis.
What did he say?
He was like, oh my God, it's so horrifying.
It is horrifying.
He goes, what is that at the bottom of it? And I was like, that's the dog's balls. And he was like, why does it look like it's going to explode? And
God. You're like, because it is.
And I was like, oh, buddy. Right, so Casey gets a little uncomfortable, and she's like, Rocco, you don't need to be talking about the dog's pee. And in my mind, I'm like, let's keep this as innocent as possible for as long as we can. I'm going to go in. Let's go in. So I'm like, we start talking. I was like, so tell me, man, what happened? And he was like, it was like I was playing with him. And out of nowhere, it came out and I got scared. And I was like, yeah, man. I was like, yeah. I was like, he was like, why did it do that? And I was like, you know, I don't know. To be honest with you, I have no idea why it did that. You know, dogs, that happens sometimes. Dogs do crazy things.
Yeah.
So he goes into the
He scratched bathroom. The right spot.
He goes into the bathroom and starts brushing his teeth, right? And I'm brushing my teeth. And we in the mirror, Rocco goes, oh, my God. And he turned, and we turn around. And now the dog's humping the bed in front of him. Aww. And he's like, what the heck is he doing? Why is he doing that?
Oh, my. So you had to address it, right? You can't ignore it.
I said, well, what is he doing? He's like, he's dancing with the thing.
He's dancing with the bed. Why is he dirty dancing with the bed?
No, he didn't say dirty dancing. He just said dancing, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Crazy, how did you solve that?
Yeah, he's dancing with the motherfucking bed, kid. You're right. That's as far as he...
And was the dog able to finish?
Oh, no.
That's horrible, man. That's horrible.
Do we have the Willy
Are you for
button?
Yourself? For yourself? Is it for yourself?
Zach, I love you.
All right, listen.
She ain't going to be saying that in real life. My me time hand was very funny.
So one of the big themes of the episode is that Carla and Elliot are constantly making plans to do something, but then they never do. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a very, I don't know if in other places if this is a very popular thing, but in Los Angeles, this is very popular. Everyone's like, we got to do this. We got to do this. Oh my God, let's do this. And then no one ever follows through on anything.
That's like the last day of a movie when you're done filming a movie and you see and all the actors are saying bye to each other and the crew saying bye. We're going to hang out when we get back to L.A., right? You know it, man. I can't wait to see you. I don't even know why we're saying goodbye. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow.
Right.
Nope.
Except for us, baby.
Well, yeah, because we got season two.
No, but I mean, even after we finished.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But, like, if it wasn't for that summer of me being in New York and you being in New York, and the show going another year. Like, that was a pivotal moment for us, dude. That was a very big moment.
Bonding in New York City.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, I don't know if it's a function of my age or what, but I feel like these characters do when you're excited to make plans, and then when the plans are coming up, you're like, oh, wouldn't it be great if they canceled? We wouldn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. I feel that. That's me all the time.
You guys feel that too?
That was me at a very young age too. Like,
it's so exciting, like making the plans, like let's do this, and then we're gonna do this, and then we can invite them, and then we should go there, and then the day of comes, you're like, oh,
I don't want to do all that.
It would be lying on the couch.
So let me ask you a question: when we make plans and I cancel, and you give me shit, are you just giving me shit to just freaking...
No, because sometimes you cancel, very often, you and your wife cancel, like, while I'm on the way to the restaurant.
I'd never have done that to you
yes,
ever.
Yes, you
dude.
Have. Dude.
Never in my
Donald,
life.
Donald, more than anyone I know, you and your wife are the king and queen of, like, sorry, guys, kids, some shit happened, we're out. And I'm, like, sitting there being like, it's actually going to be a table for one. You can cancel the extra bread. Will I be able to return these two margaritas?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The thing about people with kids is they always blame it on the kids.
If you don't have kids,
it's tough to blame it on anything. You can be like, oh, I'm tired. I don't feel good, I guess, is the go-to. But people with
whenever anybody blames it on the dog, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. But kids, I'm always like, yeah, okay, I understand. It's a real, having kids, I understand how things can, you know, monkey wrenches can get thrown into the system very easy.
The funny thing is that Bill wrote this, Bill and Krista do this a lot. Whenever I'm with them, we always are like, oh my God, and then we should go here. And do you guys want to go to Big Sur? And we should do this and we should do that. And I'm like, I'm just thinking, I'm like smiling and talking to her. I'm like, this shit's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments in this episode, and I was watching this with my wife, and I laughed really hard, and so did she. Johnny C., Dr. Cox to Jordan. When was the last time we kissed? Jordan, about a month ago. Dr. Cox, when was the last time we had sex? Jordan, yesterday. If you are married,
you can relate.
You know all about this, man. You don't have to kiss to have sex anymore.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you don't kiss your wife every day, Doug?
Marriage sounds
oh,
great.
No, dude. Me and my wife kiss all the time.
I was going to say.
But when having sex, sometimes we don't kiss at all when having sex.
Do you, like, shake hands? What do you do? Good
sometimes,
session.
Sometimes it's not even necessary. Sometimes,
yeah, high five? Good session.
Sometimes it's bam, shower, good night.
Okay. It's marriage real, sounds great.
Marriage is awesome, dude. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. You can hate on that all you want to, but that shit is fire, okay? Just putting it out there.
Okay. What about when we switch chairs? Because JD and Turk are so boring that they don't want to do anything, and their big plans for the night are going to switch that one of them's on the couch and one of them's on a chair. And then when I get into the chair, I say, your ass indentation is so deep. It's like I'm sitting in a giant inner tube.
That felt the most like us. I get it because I have a big ass, dude.
You're drunk in the trunk, indented the chair.
Yeah, I get it. That felt the most like us, though, too. Even the way you're looking at me when we're talking with the smirk on your face. And
yeah.
Like that was very much like
that is like
how
us.
We are.
Yeah. How funny is it later when we cut back and we're playing Goldfish and you're asleep? And I go, do you have any sevens? And you're asleep. And I look and I go, you got lots of sevens. And I take them. That was one of the hardest, because that felt like very like us. I'd be like, oh, you sleeping? Let me see. Oh, you got lots of sevens.
Do you remember that time I passed out on the couch while you guys played poker?
Yes.
Cuddling
your
my dog.
With your
cuddling
Rottweiler.
My dog. Yeah. Aww. Do you remember that?
Yep.
I remember that.
You got woozy.
I got woozy. Yeah. All that hypnotic. You. Who was it? You, Bill, me, somebody else. Anyway.
I don't know. I just know that you got woozy and you used to have a big Rottweiler and you were spooning the Rottweiler and you were out like a baby.
Like a baby on my
we
baby.
We were just sitting in your living room playing poker while you snored.
While I snored.
You and the dog.
Yeah.
You know,
John's in shape, dude.
Johnny looks good. He's running down Riverside Drive screaming to the world that he is not going to be a father again. Jordan is not pregnant.
It's blue. It's blue.
Yeah, he's very, very stoked. So you can reverse your vasectomy.
I don't know why you would do that.
Let's say a man's wife passes away and he would like, and then he falls in love years later again, and the new wife would like to have children and he wants to make her dreams come true.
I feel like there's other ways to make dreams come true.
Well, of course. I'm just saying. I'm trying to think of a scenario. Do you guys know any scenarios where someone would reverse their thing? But it's doable is my point.
So right. I think that's...
You could change your mind, I'm saying, if you ever decide to.
Yeah, no. I don't think I will.
Let's say Casey leaves you and you and I move in together. And I, of course, want my own children.
Donald, your face again.
I wish everybody could see Donald's face right now. It's a little bit like Steve Harvey's on Family Feud. By the way, should I reveal a little bit of more intel about Family Feud?
Yeah, the people want to know.
Donald, do you know this intel?
That we are going up against Neil Flynn and his improv group?
Well, that sort of takes the heat out of my announcement.
Take two. No, what's going on, Zach?
Well, I don't really know how to. I don't know how much of an alley oop that was. It was more like you took the ball and dumped it yourself.
For fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
All right, listen. Donald, we're going to be playing Neil Flynn and his improv group. Daniel, you can save the time it would take you to put in a drum roll because Donald ruined it. But no, it's gonna. I don't have more details other than, as we know, Neil is an amazing improv comedian and he's got a troupe group whatever you call it, that he works with. And as I understand, they are going to be our opponents for Family Feud.
Nice. That's amazing.
Way so we know it's going to be we know it's going to be funny.
You're right.
And for the fans, you not only have the four of us and Bill on one team, but you've got the Neil Flynn and his hilarious posse on the other. So we know we're going to laugh our asses off.
Yes. Very much
so. I'm a little worried about winning now, though, because Neil is super smart.
He's very smart. He was. He's
one of those guys that does like the New York Times crossword puzzles.
He's a crossword puzzle.
And I just worry. Now, I don't know how much that translates to your ability to guess what 100 random people said to a question, but he is quick-witted and smart. I'm concerned about winning.
It's the wit that worries me, because you have to be fast with the wit. I'm scared that I'm going to get up there and they'll be like, we asked 100 people. Do you use a washcloth in the shower?
Oh, yeah. And you're going to have to be like, were they African-American or Caucasian? I don't think you're allowed to ask qualifying questions. Excuse me one second, Steve. Were those Caucasian men and women?
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited for this.
It's going to be blast. It's going to be a blast.
I know. I love that. But when I heard that it was Neil, my first reaction was like, oh my God, that will be hilarious. The fans will love it. So dope. And then I was like, oh, we're going to fucking lose. He's so smart.
Come on now.
Sorry. I'm saying.
Daniel's like, I'm smart too. You can't answer every question, Daniel.
I'm just saying the competition got as stiff as Donald's dog's penis.
Oh my gosh. Let's go to break. On that note, we will go to break. We will be right back. We will be right back. Thank you. And we're back!
And we're back! So Colin Farrell, I mean, the gag of this episode basically is like everyone is so attracted to Colin Farrell that his looks and charm wreak havoc across the hospital.
Yes. So much so that my wife is willing to cheat on me. So much so that Turk's wife is willing to cheat on him in front of his face.
Yes. And we catch her and we're both like, babe!
Baby! Yeah. Yeah. It's very funny.
Colin was a lot of fun. I remember. I think he was only there one day, right?
Yeah, one or 2 days, something like that. But he was in and out.
I think it was one. I remember they. I think we got him, and he was and it was he was super cool. And I think he was like on the fence, and we were like, and then we were like, you know, you could give. And the network was going to write him a juicy check, and everyone was like, you know, you could give this to your favorite charity. And he was like, okay. And so he gave the dope check. They wrote him to his favorite charity. I remember thinking that was super sweet and menschy of him. Mm-hmm. And he was just great. But I remember, just like in the show, the entire crew was all giddy.
I wrote that down. I was so excited that he was on the show. I think this is the most I ever fanned out for someone when they came on the show, other than Billy D. Williams.
I was about to say,
other than Billy D. Williams. Like, this is like, and I don't know what it is about this guy, man. He just has a charisma about him that is very, it's charming, and you're charmed easily by him.
He's got everything. He's not only is he very handsome, but he's just, he just exudes charm and confidence and, you know. If you're attracted to men, you want to sleep with them. If you're not, you want to be his buddy. He's just one of those guys, you know.
Yeah, man. And good on Bill for writing a you know this part for him. Now I'm gonna say this. This is when I started not reading the scripts.
Oh, great.
Because I didn't understand when we were shooting this. I remember shooting and being like, I don't understand what the fuck is going on. And so we're watching it now, and it finally hit me. Oh, shit, he's the dude that knocked out the guy at the bar.
Right, but he doesn't reveal that until the end of the... Oh, you didn't remember because you never read this episode.
I had never read the episode.
Let's be honest. Let's keep it real, as you say. I don't think you were reading the scripts for many seasons thus far.
This is when it started. This is around the time it started.
Oh, really? Sure, so before season four, you took the time to actually read.
When I got divorced is when I started getting divorced and everything was when I started not necessarily focusing on the scripts anymore and started focusing on
divorce.
Me and all of that stuff. And so that's honestly what happened. I know that it was about three seasons in.
I just remember whispering to you sometimes, I'm like, this is what's happening. This is why we're in. This is what's going on.
And you're like, thank you.
Yeah. Looking out. Good looking out.
Good looking out, yeah.
Sometimes we'd be like, Donald would be like, why are we standing on this table? I'd be like, oh, because what happened in the previous scene. He's like, all right, thanks.
Yeah. But this is around the time that started happening.
Well, this episode has one of the greatest moments in Scrubs history when JD fantasizes about an Irish brother. And we see Donald becoming a leprechaun saying, top of the mizzle to you, my lizzles.
Yes.
What's lizzles?
My lads.
Oh, my lads.
Yeah.
Top of the mizzle to you, my lizzles.
Yeah. I was trying to be as Irish.
Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, dude. I remember this. I remember this one.
Oh, yeah, because of Colin.
So.
You remember it.
I remember it. Well, I didn't know. I forgot that it was the Colin episode. How appropriate that we're doing this right before St. Patrick's Day, too.
Oh, that's right. It's tomorrow. Although this will air on when? Friday? But we are recording this on the 16th. So, yes, Donald, look at that
how
timing.
How appropriate, right?
Yeah, well, we planned that.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes.
Oh, Joelle, did you settle in on the episode we're going to be doing for the live show?
Yeah, my quarantine.
How appropriate again.
Wow.
My quarantine, everybody. Let's look that up on my cheat sheet here. My quarantine is episode 416. So if you're going to be joining us for the live show, you definitely want to watch 416, My Quarantine, directed by Michael Spiller. JD suspects a patient has SARS and gets the staff quarantined in the hospital during his first date with Kylie. You remember Christy Farris, who plays Kylie?
I do.
And Turk discovers Carla and Dr. Cox used to date. Dun, dun, dun.
Knew that was coming.
And Tara Reid's back as Danny Sullivan. I remember she's the one who says, quarantinis, anyone?
Yes.
When the quarantine first happened, people were sending me that meme of Tara Reid saying, quarantinis. Anyway, so if you're joining us for the live show, that's the episode that we will be discussing. So many
It'll
good
be
plans
a lot
happening
of fun.
With that.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so much fun. I'm starting to, I think I should start watching now so I could get this rap right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I really need you. The audience is really needing you to not phone that one in.
I have a feeling they're asking for the real deal Holyfield, so I'm going to see what I can do.
Yeah, you got to bring it. You really set the bar high. And I'm actually excited / nervous about the big live show. I'm very nervous. I'm putting together, we're going to have a rehearsal, Joelle, right, where we just go over some of the tech stuff. We've got a bunch of surprises. We've got a theme song for Joelle's dating segment that we're going to debut. Mm-hmm.
We do. Who wrote it?
We do.
A fan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
A fan wrote it, and it was great, and we're going to use it.
Joelle,
we got his permission, right?
Yes. He has greenlit it. He's good to go.
Well, I'm sure if he wrote a song about Joelle dating, and he would want it to be heard, but I just want to make sure we have his permission.
Yes.
We have a musical guest surprise.
I think I know who it is.
It's not Josh Radin, but
I don't know who it is then. All right.
But Josh Radin does, and we should end today's episode with his beautiful song Today, which ends this episode.
Mm-hmm. He does a great job every time he's on this show.
Yes, but he does speak. He got really upset when I told him that he switches to his radio voice. He was in defense.
He got pissed. What did he say?
He was like, I do not. And I was like, yes, you do. You switch to a sort of soft talk.
You get real soft on the mic when you freaking are on the
it's
radio.
It's his public voice. Even on his Instagram stories, he switches to like, hey, everyone, it's Josh here. And I'm like, who the fuck is this like public radio DJ?
I can't wait to get my hands on your sweaty balls.
Yes, the second I'm speaking in front of a lot of people, I switch to this sort of kind voice. There's just kindness dripping out of my ears.
I think I'll put a tree over here by the window.
Yes.
And then maybe some
flowers.
Oh,
you're doing Bob Ross? Yeah.
Maybe some flowers.
You're right. It's a little Bob Rossy.
It is a little Bob Rossy.
I'm going to sing a song for you guys, and it's going to be about a little squirrel. A little happy squirrel. I never knew how to describe it. That's what it is. It's his Bob Ross shtick.
Yeah.
You imagine that Bob Ross is like shooting, doing his painting, and they're like, and that's a cut, Bob. And he's like, you motherfuckers, this light was in my face the whole time.
Oh, please, God,
couldn't
no.
Couldn't see the fucking squirrel.
Please, God, no. God rest his soul. Please, God, no.
All right.
I grew up, you grew up on him, obviously. Did you ever try to paint like him? Anybody?
No,
anyone?
No, but
I tried to,
I tried watching it.
Yeah, I tried a couple of times, and that shit doesn't work. First of all, the paint is expensive, so you can't get that. So I tried to do it with, like, pencils. It doesn't work. Like, I could do the birds. The birds were easy.
He makes it look so easy.
But, he's like, I'm going to put a window here. How the fuck are you going to put a window on that, dog?
And also, doesn't he use brushes? I mean, he uses brushes, but doesn't he use a lot of, like, blades?
Yeah. His skills unmatched. That was so soothing as a kid. So soothing.
Yeah, I loved it. It was like Josh Radin talking to you on a podcast. It was so relaxing.
With his radio voice.
The janitor is busting chops. That's his whole thing. Busting
his
chops.
Chop busting.
And he really is enjoying fucking with everybody. Like when Sarah and Judy are both lying to get out of their hangout they planned, he's like calling them out. Sorry, chop busting.
Same thing. He does the same thing to Dr. Cox. Kelso busts Cox with the lie on the vasectomy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it that or the fishing? Because Cox fishing. First says that he caught a marlin. He went fishing instead of saying he had a vasectomy.
Right, but then
that's the janitor, and then down in the lobby, Kelso says, "I know that limp."
Right, that's a vasectomy. You got a vasectomy. He lied. Right, Cox lies to Carla, and the janitor reveals that something changed. That there was something. Yeah. I
now
guess.
There's another clue that we're in Los Angeles here, even though Bill made great pains to say that we are anywhere USA.
And the clue
is. But he claims that he went fishing in San Diego, which would be a relatively nearby place to go fishing.
Hours that it took him to get to San Diego seemed a little long. Just putting it out there compared to coming from Los Angeles.
I'm just saying, it's not in the Midwest. It's not on the East Coast. He went on a weekend trip to San Diego.
But to get to San Diego, it only takes 2 hours from Los Angeles. It was something like I don't recall what the time.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go deep cut, let's go deep cut, dog.
I'm just saying occasionally there are little clues that the show takes place in Los Angeles, much to Bill's chagrin. Mm. We also, of course, have the famous one. That is, Sarah takes a train to SeaWorld. I don't even know if there is a train to San Diego. Is there?
Yeah, absolutely there is.
I have a question. Was that a goal of the show, for it to be anywhere USA?
Yes.
At first it was.
Bill was painting out palm trees, and he was doing anything. He wanted it to feel like any city USA. Okay. It's never specifically said, but every once in a while you'll see a palm tree, or every once in a while there'll be a thing like someone took the train to SeaWorld,
and
or Dr. Cox went fishing for the weekend in San Diego.
And that's why it was a big deal when several episodes ago, when you do the final scene, when you guys are eating dinner on like the balcony, you can see like downtown LA, or you can see Santa Monica pretty clearly. And people were like, I think that's Santa Monica right there.
Yeah. I mean, now that you rewatch it, there's clues like that it's LA. Right.
I mean, you can't hide it if you film it there, you know?
Right.
That's
but I think
like
in the beginning,
filming in Toronto and being like, it's New York.
I think in the beginning, he was really trying to keep it out of there. That I laughed out loud when we make him do the frosted Lucky Charms. They're magically delicious. And I go, I told you he was Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish, all right.
And then you go, yeah, right. He is. Like that, we're such fucking idiots. That's our test for if someone's truly Irish.
If you can recite
Lucky Charms.
Right, yeah. If you know the order of the Lucky Charms.
Yeah. We're such idiots. We're like, no, that's like their favorite thing. They know Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Blue stars, yellow moons, green clovers.
And then I go, we live together. Not live together. And I do like the ass slap gesture.
Right. Like that was the first
together.
Time Casey
not
goes.
Live together.
What? Right there, Casey goes, oh my God.
Why? Because I'm doing a gesture. Because
you did
implies.
The ass gesture. And then when you did the nipple one, she was like, oh my God.
I know. That was funny, though. Didn't you laugh at the nipple?
I laughed out loud. There were a lot of inappropriate moments that I laughed out loud.
Well, there's a lot of bisexuality going on in this episode. The Todd is fully standing with all the women. Really
he appreciates hot.
Really livid. And he says, the Todd appreciates hot. No. Oh, he goes, the Todd appreciates hot regardless of gender.
Yeah.
All the women are pissed that JD and Turk had Colin Farrell arrested and called the cops. And they're all lined up. And there's Todd in the middle. Let's talk about this cat fight.
Before we get into it, aren't they supposed to do that? aren't they supposed to? Isn't it their oath as doctors to, if there's a felony, if something happens, aren't they? Like, how do you let that go?
I guess technically that's what the rule is, that if we find out that who hurt this man, who's clearly, he's in the ICU, for God's sakes, we would need to tell the authorities.
He's in the ICU unconscious for hours, too.
Yeah, on an IV.
Right.
He's not in good shape.
At all.
And
they let it, and when they find out, there's like this moment of, what should we do? Even though JD's already called the cops, and he blames it on Turk, which is fucked up, dude. I'm not gonna lie. We got a call from Christopher Turk when the cops show up.
Yeah, because I used your name because I said it's easier to hear on the phone.
Bullshit.
I know. Bullshit. JD just didn't want to call the cops. He blames it on you.
Yeah. He blames it on Turk.
The cat fight was intense. I didn't know that Carla and Elliot got into a all out cat fight in one episode.
I had forgotten about that also, and it was very funny when Todd pauses him. Hey, whoa. And then he puts the chair down and sits. Continue.
Everyone thinks he's going to break it up, but he just wants a front row seat.
Right. Because everybody's betting. All of the nurses are cheering on. The doctors are cheering on. Everybody's been waiting for this. I wonder if that happens in hospitals.
No, I don't think that there's all-out fist fights amongst the staff in hospitals.
I bet you it's happened before. If it's happened.
I'm sure, but then the people probably get fired. They're not like going back to work and.
Okay. If it's happened,
I don't think you're allowed to have a big fight.
If you've had like a Cobra Kai type fight in your hospital, please write in.
Yeah.
We know when you're bullshitting.
Elliot knows how to fight because her parents have an orchard.
Yeah.
And she was constantly fighting off apple thieves.
Yeah, apple thieves.
That's how Elliot knows how to fight, is that she was, I guess her parents seemed to put her in charge of security for the orchard.
Yeah. At a very young age, too. At a very young age. I just want to talk about something that we haven't talked about the whole show.
What?
Jerry the Dead Guy.
Yeah, Jerry the Dead Guy walking
around. Had me laughing the whole episode, man. Why didn't he come back? First of all. How the hell is this dude in the ICU, dude? How is he walking around ICU? One.
I don't know. No one's keeping him out. He's got walking corpse syndrome, which I really wonder if that's a real thing. I mean, I would imagine it is since we base our stories on real things. But he believes he's dead, and he's walking around thinking he's a ghost. And everyone's like, Jerry, you're not dead. Get out of here.
But every monologue he does is from the ghost's perspective of being dead, though. So it's not like he's like, except for when he talks to Colin, where he's like, I'm dead. And the two of them have a conversation.
That would have been a good recurring character. You're right.
But everything else, man, was from the point of view of I've been dead for a while and I'm haunting this hospital.
How about, how funny is it when we go back to the room and the patient that Colin beat up wakes up, and then I scream and fall to the floor. That was funny.
That was very funny. You think that's funny? You like scaring people? He's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so petty of JD. Oh, wait. I forgot to mention another thing I laughed out loud when Colin goes, oh, you guys going to be tearing it up? And I go, well, it's less tearing and more folding.
Right.
Gently folding. Oh, that was funny. We're just going to be on the couch playing Go Fish.
No, but we did it at the bar at the end.
Yeah, we did.
They did it at the bar. I think we should go to break. We got a guest.
Okay, our guest is here. We're going to go break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
We're back.
All right, let's invite the caller in, Daniel. Always exciting to have a guest.
Say hello to Demetrius Daniels.
Demetrius Daniel! Oh my god. They've unlatched.
Is that a bat suit?
They've unlatched.
Demetrius Daniels, welcome to the program. It seems like you might be in a full bat suit. Please explain what's going on. Oh my goodness.
It's amazing.
Are you a cosplayer, I'm guessing?
Yes. really just as Batman. Batman's my go-to. Plus, I bought the suit, so this is the costume for the next few years.
No, you look incredible, and it looks like a really perfect. I mean, it looks like the suit. Where did you buy that from?
Online, it's called UD Replicas. They do really good work.
Wow, is Donald, you need to get one of those. Yes.
Is it bulletproof?
So it's it is made out of Kevlar, but it's originally a motorcycle suit.
So it is made out of Kevlar. Oh. I understand this. Have you had dreams of putting the mask on and hitting the streets as a vigilante?
I do have a bulletproof mask, I will say.
Oh my gosh! We have a real life vigilante. Wow. But you have not hit the streets yet.
I never even heard of a bulletproof mask. I didn't know that was a thing. I want one just for my regular life.
Probably need them now, to be honest.
Wow. So wait, Demetrius, do you go to, I mean, obviously not now, but when the world opens up, will you go to Comic-Cons and stuff like that or events? Like, what do you do with a dope-ass Batman suit?
So the original plan is I got this, I think, like late 2019. And at the time, I was planning to go to like all the Comic Cons and whatnot. And then 2020 came.
So you just wear it around the house.
Pretty much.
You got to get the mileage, man. Get that mileage, baby.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be.
For the suit.
Joelle is probably just as excited as you at the possibility of Comic Cons returning sometime soon.
I'm ready.
I think we're all really excited about it. Speaking of Demetrius. Are you excited for the Snyder Cut?
Oh God, yes. I'm ready for it.
I can tell you're ready for it.
Yeah, you're ready.
I just with this as I'm watching it.
Right on, right on.
Now, Demetrius, have you always been into Batman? Has he always been your favorite superhero?
Yes.
Yeah, right on.
It's that you know idea of you know he goes against all these superheroes, but like human will triumph over anything.
That's what's up. Who's and the lovely young lady next to you, man?
This beautiful young woman here.
She tried this is to my slide out.
Best friend, future wife, probably.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot that I have to get done first before all of that.
What do you mean?
We'll get to that and fix the light.
Oh, okay. Now, does she cosplay as Alfred? How does it work out between you two?
No.
No, but I did have to help him get the suit on, so I need a raise.
All right, sir, do you have a question for us?
Yes. So in my musical, during the like last song when the patient is like going under, you know, we hear the song, you're going to be okay, that's what's going to happen. But then we hear JD say, or sing, "We Hope." And so I'm just like, is that the last thing she heard before she went to your surgery?
I don't know that she heard it. I think it was trying to say the hospital is optimistic that they're going to be able to operate on this tumor. But the chances of her surviving it are up in air. It's a 50-50.
Well, yeah, we're trying to comfort her. I think, you know, you're going to be okay. You're just like a real doctor would. You're going to be okay. You're going to do great. And then I think my understanding of it is once she's unconscious, like, you know, to each other, we're like, we hope, you know,
right,
you know,
like,
you never, one never knows, of course, but.
That's how I originally took it. But the fact that it was still being sung and she could only hear in song, I was like, did she hear
well,
that?
She did hear it because she did hear it because everybody goes, shh.
Yeah.
So I'm just, wow. Like, good
that's
memory.
Kind of a weird way to end that. Like right.
I got to tell you, you just reminded me that I was thinking of the song, Everything Comes Down to Poo, because I have this nutritionist and she said, we got to check the poo. And I had never had my poo checked, but you have to send, you know, those, have you seen those commercials where like they send
Kool-Aid.
You a box? Yeah.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Every time I see those commercials, I'm like, I'm going to fucking poop in a box and send it in the mail. Cut to me pooping in a box and sending it in the mail.
You don't poop in a box. You wipe your butt and you send the tissue.
Oh,
sample.
I know. I did the whole thing. No, there's a little scoop. There's a little gross little plastic spork and you have to It is the grossest thing. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for changing diapers because I had to basically change my own diaper. And then my friends were asking me about it. I was like, well, here's what I know. Check the poo. You got to check the poo. Whether like it's a tumor on. Or like a touch to of the flu.
I'd like
please,
to move on. I'd like
please
to move
won't
on.
You pinch us off a big fat clue. Our number one test is your number two.
If there's you don't
please, no, if light, there's no breeze, light a match, please. Please.
Everything comes down to
Anyway, so my poo is somewhere via FedEx above the skies right now. I hope my poo is going on an adventure.
Oh my!
Your poo gets to travel more than you do right now.
That's true. That my true. Poo is going on a vacation somewhere. Oh
my God. Do you remember what the original line was? Like a corally or a letter J, long as it's a deuce. Yeah. Yes.
They made us cut. They made us cut of calling the poo a letter J
or a coily.
When you look at the shit that made it onto Scrubs, like even now we're talking about how the shit that's in this episode. And then you like let things that the network is finally like, no, we're putting our foot down. You cannot describe a poop as the letter J. Demetrius, do you have another question for us, sir?
I do. In all of your careers, what's a project that you look back on and you're like, that was an idea, or I probably shouldn't have been that, or that you just regret doing?
Ooh, you know, I've made it a purpose now never to diss any of the things that I did back in the days because I was a part of it and, you know, it's in the past. But so there's really no, if anything, I would want people to go see my missteps and everything like that. I think it's fun to watch where people have made, you know, movies that aren't necessarily as good as things that they're known for. I think it's fun to find little projects that people have worked on. So instead of looking back and saying, I don't like that, I encourage people to go watch all of the movies that I've been in.
Yeah, I don't want to diss anything specific because when you think about it, there are people that worked on it really hard and it was their child, their baby. And I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But I will say that, yeah, there's things that didn't work out. And all you can do, like any thing in any career path, is go, why didn't that work? And, you know, what do the Monday morning quarterbacking and going, what was wrong about that? And then hopefully use that knowledge to not fall into that trap again. Go, you know what? This set of ingredients led up to that thing not working. Let me try and learn from that and do better next time. But you're constantly continuing to learn.
You see the same pattern often, like Zach just said. It comes up again and again, especially in this career and it's always tempting because it's either there's something, a part of it that is alluring, you know what I mean? Whether it be the money or whether it be something that you've always wanted to be a part of or whether it's really interesting. And then you take the job and you regret it the whole time. And then after it comes out, you're embarrassed and you want it to go away. Because I said I would do the job, I decided a long time ago, I'll put all the effort forward. Even if I don't agree with how the movie was going to be, I will still push forward and help promote and do all of those things. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing I'll say is that one mistake I have made repeatedly that I don't want to make anymore is I go, I like that person. I'm going to work with them.
Right.
Meaning I'm basing it solely on liking them socially, which is a mistake I encourage you not to do, because you can love someone and they can be incredible. And they can be one of your best friends, but they certainly might not be right for the assignment that they are taking on, or they might not be the right collaborator, or you guys might not collaborate well in a creative environment. And I've caught myself making that mistake many times, going, I like so-and-so. They're fun to be around. Yeah, I'll do the project with them. And then it turns out not to be great. And you go, well, yeah, because just because you like someone and are friends with them doesn't mean that you're going to collaborate well together.
The signs are always there, but the signs are always there. You just got to be, you know, awake enough to recognize them.
You have to base your desire to collaborate with someone on their work and mm-hmm. and on their reputation and what other people say about them and what, you know, other than just like, oh, they're cool. That's not smart.
Okay.
All right, sir. It's time for Gotham's favorite segment. It's time to
fix your life.
It's time to fix your life, sir.
It's time to fix your life, sir. Would you like us to fix your life, sir?
Thank you, Alfred. So currently, I'm going through a very contentious divorce right now. And it's not so much about the divorce. It's, you know, when you have those memories pop up, like there's that joy that's with them, but now there's that pang of like hurt, like I'm never gonna experience this again with that person. And so it's more so when, like, what's the process that you all have gone through to kind of like move on from that hurt, because I don't want it to be 5 years from now with my new partner. And she thinks I'm still hung up on, you know, my past.
Mm-hmm. How long were you married?
Not long. Like, okay. Got married and divorced in 2020.
Oh, so wow. I mean, that's a story I want to hear from for a whole another podcast.
Right.
And do you have any children with that woman?
No, it was a year. It was
a house, but
you
can
have a baby
now.
In a year, Donald. If they could have gotten married, gotten pregnant, had a baby 9 months later, then got divorced.
It's doable. 10 months. It's 10 months.
Still okay. Less than a year.
Still less than 12. Hold on, let me just do the math.
Hold on. They gotta get married. First. No, you the one that's y'all motherfuckers, don't fucking do the freaking bong hit on this shit. You're the one that's freaking spouting.
Oh, we got
bullshit.
The sound pad working?
Yes, yeah, he
sir.
Got the sound pad working, man.
He's already mad about the bong sound effect.
I'm not mad about it, but you're using it for like, you're just using it just to use it, man. That wasn't
okay. I'm sorry. I'll save my bong noise for more appropriate times.
Thank you.
Oh, for fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
I didn't mean to hit Deb.
What are you doing?
I meant to hit this one.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Sorry. Okay. I haven't labeled these. I got a label. Okay. Just give me a chance to label, okay?
I do not like the soundboard. I'm gonna I do like that. The
oh, you
thing you're trying to get into.
A day of shoon. What you trying to do? What is here? Demetrius, Donald can speak to divorce more accurately than the rest of us.
I will say
of
this.
Of course, we can relate to bad breakups, which I'm sure we've all lived through, but divorce is something different. Go ahead, Donald.
I don't know about you, but I was very happy not to be married anymore at that time. It was a stressful part of my life. It wasn't a healthy relationship, even though we had children and stuff. It was... we were hurting each other by staying together because neither one of us wanted to be there. So when you say, even though it turned out to be an ugly divorce, because breakups usually are hard to do, regardless if you want to or you don't want to, it's always difficult. I was happy. So I've never met anyone where... I've said to them where, you know, you hear somebody always says, you know, so how are things with you? Oh, I got a divorce. And they go, oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. I've never heard anybody go, oh, thank you so much because I'm in so much pain. If anything, I hear, oh, no. It was the right thing to do. So if y'all aren't meant to be together, then why are you worried about anything that came in the past? It was a year in, I mean, I hate to get all... loud with you and everything, but I mean, I don't see how this should damage the relationship between the two of you because it ended so quick.
Yeah,
you know
plus
what I mean?
Look how happy you are. I mean,
and now you got
we
someone
just met you
who's
and
really
like giddy.
Dude, dude, you got someone who's willing to sit next to you while you wear a Batman suit, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
and help you in the said Batman suit.
You know, and then zip the shit up, man. Yeah. Like,
she's like, honey, don't forget your head armor.
Right. So this past relationship, it's in the past and you're going through it. And I know where you're coming from when you say a lot of things are brought up, but it's brought up because someone's trying to, I'm not saying it's her, I'm not saying it's you, but the divorce is a difficult one. If it were easy divorce, if it was just, hey, sign here, I'll sign here, we'll split 50-50, peace out, you wouldn't have any of this conversation wouldn't be anything. But because there's so much drama in between on who owns this shit and that shit's mine and this over here belongs to me, you're going to experience this. I'm just going to say this, go through it. And at the end of the day, you have a very lovely woman next to you who seems to really, really like you. You know what I mean? And focus on that. Focus on that. Because what's going on right now is going to be negative. It's a breakup. That's how it goes. Yeah.
Focus on the gratitude, man, and being grateful, because there's so many people out there going through a divorce who their biggest fear is, oh, I'm going to be alone the rest of my life, or, oh, I fucking got to go back out there and try dating again. And you're so blessed that you have this person that you're crazy about sitting right next to you and can be your, not only your best friend, but help you through this really tricky time. Is there anything that we don't, you don't have to share too much, but is there a reason that it's so contentious? Why can't you guys just go yourself? I mean, I assume you have a house to sell and everything. Is there, what's going on making it difficult?
She's declared bankruptcy. So there's like a whole other layer of I was going to give her the house. She just had to sign off on a bunch of paperwork. She refused to sign it. And there's a couch that was leased in my name. And there's just a bunch of stuff. And now that she's declared bankruptcy, all of that debt that she's going to be absolved from falls on me.
Wow. So,
oof.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
That's, wow. Wow.
Well, the plus side, you don't have children. That's a really positive thing. So again, try and focus on the gratitude. You have love in your life. You don't have to deal with the pains of navigating this with children. The financial stuff, I'm sure anyone listening can hear how smart you are, and you'll be able to navigate it. And this too shall pass, as they say. It's not going to be easy, Donald.
This is not going to be easy.
Donald can tell you it doesn't. You know, you can't expect that it's all going to get cleaned up right away, but just focus on the positives. Focus on, the new relationship you have. Focus on your badass Batman suit. Focus on.
But also, focus on, not to focus on what went wrong and everything like that, but learn the lesson too. You know what I mean? There are signs. I don't know how long you guys were together before you decided to get married, but it took me a really long time for my wife to agree to marry me, but I'm so happy she did, because now we've been together for a really long time and we have such an amazing family. And, I didn't think after I got divorced I would ever experience this again. And so, you have to, and I rushed into a marriage when I was younger. And so, just realize what went wrong. You have to recognize what went wrong so you don't make that mistake again.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, coming from a family of psychologists and family therapists, I would really advise, if you can afford it, you could either do it with someone you find online or using one of the apps that we advertise here, to do some pre-marriage counseling.
I use BetterHelp.
Oh, great. Great. BetterHelp is perfect. And, my stepmother's always people study, my stepmother's a marriage counselor, and she's like, people study everything that they want to do with their lives. And then they get into a marriage that's a lifelong commitment and they don't have any advice or any education in how to be a couple. And especially since you went through a quick marriage, I can hear my stepmother here saying, take a therapist or take a course. There's a zillion things you can do. Just Google pre-marriage counseling. And so it'll help you guys create a framework for arguing, for how to disagree, how to fight without being cruel, all that stuff, that I think, since you've had this horrible experience, you can go into this new awesome relationship with a bit of a tool chest. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. I want to shout out to Joelle.
What did Joelle do? She didn't do anything.
Whoa, take that back. I'm sorry. Didn't do anything.
I'm sorry.
She did. I sent my message so early in the morning, and she was just so quick, like, hey, can you be on at 2? And I was like, I need to go buy a lottery ticket because today I got my stimmy, and then I got on the show.
Love it. It's been a really great day for you, Demetrius.
And wait, what was the first part? You got your what?
My stimmy.
Oh, they're coming. Are they landing?
Yeah,
landing.
I got mine today.
Congratulations! So it just goes electronically into your account.
If you set it up, yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that nice?
That's great. I'm very happy for you. I wanted to also say we are going to have a very special episode coming up. I think it's next, right, Joelle?
Yeah.
Just because we stumbled into the topic of divorce, we're going to have my mom on the show. And then we're going to do an episode with Donald's mom. And we thought not only could our moms come on and talk about just like us as kids and how we got into performing and all that stuff. I think that could be funny. But also each of our moms has a specialty. My mom is a therapist and has written a new children's book. She's a psychologist and she's written a book that is meant to be read to your children if you're going through divorce, ages 6 to 10. And so my mom looked out there because this is her field and she wasn't liking or finding the right book to read to children when you're going through a divorce. And so she wrote one. And so we're going to be talking about that with my mom amongst many other things. So by the way, if you have if you're going through a divorce and you have a child, in the 6 to 10 age range, please reach out to our email and let Joelle know because we might just have you on as a guest. It is, what's the main Gmail, Joelle?
ScrubsIHeart@gmail.com.
ScrubsIHeart@gmail.com. If you're going through a divorce and dealing with having to tell a child about it, who's roughly 6 to 10, put in the subject heading divorce so Joelle can spot it amongst all the other emails she gets, and maybe we'll have you on. And then Donald's mom is a very big, very successful agent. So after we talk about Donald's childhood and growing up and being a performer, we can also get some advice for
all you young actors out there who are trying to make it happen, where to go, how to get your stuff seen when you can't get seen by the big agents. My mom knows how to get it done.
Yeah, so that we're going to have 2 mom shows in a row. Right, well, in a row, we got to see if Shirley's available.
We got to see if my mom's available. I don't know if she'll be available. I mean, I imagine she'd be geeked out of her mind to talk to a bunch of people because... You know, if you've ever sat down with my mom, you already know she's a talker.
Your mom, well, she's a talker, but she's very funny.
Funny, yes.
My mom's going to be great. Maybe you should be on your best behavior. Maybe just go a little bit light on the jazz cabbage.
I'm not going to smoke a whole blunt. I will just smoke a half.
Maybe just rub the blunt under your nose.
I think maybe I'll just eat it instead of smoking it.
In honor of my mom, don't get too high.
I will come through. Okay. I will come through. I will even use the Visine. I promise you.
I think my mom knows that you enjoy jazz cabbage.
I'm sure she does.
All right. Well, you guys can stay on.
Stay on because I think we did the whole show, dude.
We did the whole show. Yes, Demetrius.
Because I want to give a shout out to my brother, Dominic Daniels. Just love him. He just got married and they're pregnant, him and his wife.
Oh, congratulations.
And I would like to showcase this beautiful young woman's art.
Yes.
Can you please get the painting?
Well, where can we find it? It's great for us to see, but where can the fans find it?
Bailey 16. So I did a chocobo painting.
Oh, wow. It's lovely. Oh,
that is dope.
I love chocobos. Yay!
I didn't even know what a chocobo is, but it's a beautiful bird.
It's a bird from Final Fantasy, the video game series.
It looks very mythical.
Ding, 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 ding. I have a feeling awesome. You guys are a match made in heaven. You two.
This is my JD. Like, we've known, it's been what?
11 years we've been friends.
Oh my God. Demetrius, I think you got it right the second time around. So wait, will you just, for everyone who wants to see your art, for everyone who wants to see your art, will you just give us the Instagram page again, please?
Yeah, Instagram is topbailey16.
Nice.
How do you spell?
TATBAILEY16.
And are your paintings for sale?
I've never really sold a painting, actually.
Sell them!
Well,
That was pretty dope.
You're very talented, so I suggest that you figure out how you could go about selling your work. That was beautiful. I'd put that on my wall.
Demetrius, what are you doing, man? You better not let this woman slip away from you.
Demetrius, how are you not going to fuck this up?
You know what I mean? I bet your ex-wife didn't do stuff like this. Yeah. Your ex-wife didn't zip your ass up in a Batman suit, did she? No, she did not.
She was like, take that shit off.
She was like, you better take that shit off, damn it.
Yeah, and do the dishes.
And I know why you're laughing, because it's true. You remember all of this shit, Demetrius.
All right, you're gonna give him nightmares.
She's next door. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. We still live together.
Yeah. I didn't tell you that we're in the basement. She's still upstairs.
She won't leave.
All right, Demetrius, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Are you guys gonna join us for the live show?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Oh, can't wait to see you. Can't wait to see you.
March 26th, everybody, live show.
Love
what's that?
Straight fire.
Oh, the beats.
Thank you.
Oh, Daniel got fire. I appreciate that.
Daniel, you honor me.
You honor me. Beats are fire.
You honor me. You honor me.
Listen, the bad work.
Yes.
All right. Listen. What is that, Casey? You have something you want to say?
Zach,
no.
Okay. Thank you. listen, no. We did it. Everybody, look at Donald's face. He's got the Steve Harvey face on.
We miss everybody out there. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I'm just trying to shut you the fuck up.
We love you guys.
And now that that's done, love you all. 5, 6, 7, 8.
No,
oh, wait. Damn. Wait,
turn
hold
off.
Up. Hold
Dan
up.
Off.
Stop.
Turn
Dan,
it
wait,
off.
Wait, 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 wait.
He doesn't like to do our plugs. Tickets for the live show are on both of Donald and my Instagram pages. Just go to the bio and click on it. Buy tickets to the live show. And what else do we want to tell them, Joel?
Thank you so much for listening, guys. You know, this has been an amazing year since we're almost at our 1 year anniversary. That's coming up too. You know, this has been so awesome so far. Zach and I are about to go off and do projects. And so, you know, the format of the show might be a little bit different than what you're used to. We want you to bear with us until we get back. We just want you to know we love y'all so, 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 so much. And thank you so much for all of the positive feedback and positive energy you've been sending us.
That's true. That's true. And this has been so fun for us. We love how much you guys are enjoying it. And just know that we look forward to it and love it too. And we're going to end the show today with the Josh Radin singing today, because we're allowed to play Josh Radin music. So here we go, everybody. This was on episode 414. And here is the Josh Radin with today.
Shoelaces untied. You can dry your eye. Perfect shadows lie behind us, and this is the day I'm making mine. Lately I've lost my tongue.